Actually, do we have a tanakh yet?
That's working. Let's try to get this working.
Got it? How did you do it?
I just turned it off and turned it on again.
Yeah, sometimes it's like scrambled a little bit. I don't know why, but okay. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Chelek Arachayim, where he discusses a question which can happen, which can occur often actually, and that is that he wants to know whether a person who is not fasting on Tisha B'Av, can he receive an aliyah for mincha, for Vayichal? Can he receive a mincha for Shacharis too, for that matter, but especially for mincha? And he discusses back and forth. Again, I don't have the language in front of me, but he discusses this back and forth, and he suggests that one should be mechalek between Tisha B'Av and some of the other Tanesim, and particularly the Bahabs. And it's not so clear whether he also wants to make the distinction between Tisha B'Av and the other Tanesim that are Tanis Tzibor, like Masar B'Teves, Shavasar B'Tamos, Tzom Gedalia, Megillas Esther may be a category in its own right. We'll leave that for another time. But this is his discussion. The Rabbi Kiveger has a similar discussion, tshuva with regard to Yom Kippur, where he discusses this question, whether or not somebody who is a chola mesukan and has to eat on Yom Kippur, whether or not he can receive an aliyah or not. And again, Rabbi Kiveger says, for Shacharis, certainly he should be able to receive an aliyah on Yom Kippur, because the Kriyas HaTorah of Shacharis on Yom Kippur is a Kriyas HaTorah of any Moed. But when it comes to the Mincha, where we don't usually read on a Yom Tov, we do on Shabbos, but not on Yom Tov, so maybe that's connected specifically to the Tanis, to the Tzom. And therefore, what would be the Halacha with somebody who legitimately is not fasting, but he's still not fasting, would he be able to receive an Aliyah or not? That's a discussion Rabbi Kiveger has. In the Chasam Sofer's discussion, so he points out that it seems clear to him, at least, that on Tisha B'Av there one would be able to receive an aliyah, even if he wasn't fasting. After all, he says, the Megillah in Eicha calls Tisha B'Av a moed, moed lishbor bachurai, but it's called a moed, and we learn all sorts of dinim from the fact that it is called a moed. There's no tachanun, all sorts of interesting halachos that the Rishonim, and then it was expanded upon by the Poskim, derive from the fact that Tisha B'Av is considered to be a Moed. So since it's a Moed, so in a way it's patterned, ironically, considering Rabbi Kiveger's tshuva, he says it's patterned very much after Yom Kippur. Indeed, if there weren't a Yom Kippur, there wouldn't have been the possibility of a Tisha B'Av. This idea that the Chasam Sofer himself develops, I think, in the last tshuva in Arachayim, the end of Arachayim, that, you know, when there's a drabbanan, the drabbanan has to be, you know, connected or kain doraisa. So he says, in his opinion, there would be justification to giving an aliyah as somebody who was not fasting on Tisha B'Av. The Chasam Sofer's discussion highlights the idea that Tisha B'Av may be different, may be unique among the Tanesim. Again, he's certain that it's different than the Bahabs, but some of the rayas that he brings that reinforce the idea that Tisha B'Av is a yom, it's a day, separate from the tzom that everybody is supposed to be engaged in. Some of those rayas in particular focus on Tisha B'Av, not some of the other Tanesim. The Mishnah here in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, says that Al Shisha Chadoshim Hashluchin Yotzin, Al Nisan Mipnei HaPesach, Al Av Mipnei HaTainis, Al Elo Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, Al Tishrei Mipnei Takanas HaMoados, Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah, Al Adar Mipnei Purim, Ukashay Beitzim Kiddush Kayim, Yotzin Af Al Iyar Mipnei Pesach Kata. So these are the, referring to Kiddush HaChodesh, and the ability of the Shluchim to go, even on Shabbos, now there's a certain urgency to be in Mekadosh HaChodesh. And the Mishnah says that these are the 6 months where it's particularly urgent. One of them is Av Mipnei Atanis. So the Gemara says, V'lifku nami atamos the teves. Why only Av? After all, we have Tanesim also in Tamos and also in Sar B'Teves, Shavasar B'Tamos. So the Gemara says, "Damrav Chana Bar Bizna, Rav Shimon Chasida, Ma'idchsim." According to the pasuk in Zechariah, "Komar Hashem Tzavakos, Tzom Harvi'i, Tzom Hachamishi, Tzom Hashvi'i, Tzom Haasiri, Yeh Lebeis Yehuda LeSasono LeSimcha, Zekaru Lo Tzom VeKaru Lo Sason LeSimcha, Bizman Sheish Shalom Yu LeSasono LeSimcha, Ein Shalom Tzom." So whether or not, if it's happy times, festive times, grand times for Klal Yisrael, so these will be days of Sason V'Simcha. Otherwise, Tzom. So we see that not only Tisha B'Av, but these other Tanesim are considered to be significant days as well. So how come the Shliach was Yotze when it came to Tisha B'Av, and not for these other fast days? So the Gemara says, Orav Papa Hachikamar, Bizman Shiyesh Shalom Yiyu L'Sason U'L'Simcha. When it's a peaceful time, prosperity, so then these will be days of Sason V'Simcha. Yesh Gzeres HaMalchus, if there are times of difficult decrees, harsh times, then Tzom, then they're going to be treated as, commemorated as Yimei Tzom. Ein Gzeres Malchus, Ve'ein Shalom, if you have, you know, what you usually have, you know, something in between, you know, there are problems either on the horizon or prevailing problems, but it's not a full-fledged crisis yet. So the halacha is that Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. So then you have the choice whether or not to be Misane under those conditions. So the Gemara says, and that's the reason why the urgency is not as great to run out in Tammuz and Teves, etc. So the Gemara says, Yachi Tisha B'Av Nami. Shouldn't the same thing be true then for Tisha B'Av? Namely, it's included in Zechariah. So if you have this kind of ambiguous kind of an era, where it's not it's not terrible crisis or tragedy, but it's also not a time of security and prosperity. So if that's the case, then Tisha B'Av should be treated like the other Tanesim. Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. Shouldn't have this urgency. So the Gemara says, Amra Papa, Shiny Tisha B'Av, Hoil V'Huchpulu Botzaros. Tisha B'Av is different because it's a day in which there were multiple tzaros. Okay. So the question arises, what exactly does the Gemara mean here? And then in two sentences. Number one, is the Gemara's distinction between Tisha B'Av and the other Tanesim merely quantitative? It's a day which is even more painful because Huchpulu Botzaros. Question number one, highlighted by question number two, the question that the Baalei Tosfos ask, which is, if you look at the Mishnah in Masechet Tanis, and Daf Chavav Mem Aleph, so there the Mishnah tells us, you know, why it is that we commemorate these various days. And we're told that B'Yom Shivasar B'Tamuz Nami Ira Chamisha Dvarim. Right? There are five things that took place on Tisha B'Av, five calamities. And there were five calamities that took place on Shivasa B'Tamuz. So if there are five in both cases, what does the Gemara mean? That Huchpalu, Bo, Tzaros, only Tisha B'Av is a day in which there were multiple tragedies. It's not true. Shivasa B'Tamuz had five. Tisha B'Av had five. Mimon of Shach, either that's Koveya, special status, or it's not. But why should you distinguish again between Tisha B'Av and Shivasa B'Tamuz? So this is the question. So Tosfos gives two answers. Tosfos says, Aval Churban Beis Hamikdash Tekifa Tuva. One answer is, but this is worse. After all, this was Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Ode, Lo Dami L'Tisha B'Av, the Tzara Achas Huchpulu B'Av. What the Gemara really means was that the same thing happened twice on Tisha B'Av. On Shavasa B'Tamuz, five different calamities took place. On Tisha B'Av, the same thing happened twice. The Churban of the Beis HaMikdash twice. The question arises, what does Tosfos mean with these two answers, and especially with the second answer? Again, as I said before, is this quantitative? So there's a hierarchy of Moedim, and there's a hierarchy of fast days, days of tragedy and of calamity. And Tisha B'Av happens to be the worst because it has many tragedies, and one of them is a repeat tragedy, which is worse. That's what Tosfos has in mind. Or Tosfos is suggesting a different approach to Tisha B'Av, that it's a different kind of a fast day. And the fact that it's a different kind of fast day also makes it relevant even when times are ambiguous, even when things seem to be more in the neutral area. What do I have in mind? The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tanis explains that the foundation of Tanios is the idea of Midarkei HaTshuva. The Rambam explains that says this in Perek Aleph Hilchos Tanis, and he repeats it in Perek Hei. When he introduces Tanios in general, he explains Mitzvah Asay Min HaTorah Lizokul Hariyah B'Chatzotzos Al Kol Tzara Shetova Al HaTzibur. Any natural calamities, kiotvim zaku aleim vaharim. The davar zeh, says the Rambam, midarkei atshuva. Shevizman shetovo tzara v'yizaku aleha v'yariu. Yedu akol shebegal maseim aroim hura lehem kakasuv avonoseichem hitu v'zeu sheyigrem lahasir. The Rambam says the purpose of a Tanis is to inspire tshuva. It's to take some sort of responsibility, or at least to attribute responsibility, speculate about responsibility, because if one is then motivated to seek the root cause of the calamity, that will be the first step, the first part of the process of an antidote. But if you see this as happenstance, very strong language of the Rambam, I can speak about that part of it now. Rambam says that this is like cruelty or viciousness, insensitivity on a high level. The Goren Eslehemli Davik Pemaseim Arayim, the Tosef Atzara Tzaros Acheros. So this is the Rambam's description. The purpose of Atanis is that as a Yom Tshuva Midarkei HaTshuva. And then in Parakei, the Rambam repeats this when he gets into the specific Tanios Tzibor. Yesham Yamim Shakol Yisrael Misanabahem, there are days in which Klal Yisrael fasts, Mibnei Atzaros, Shi'ir Lahem, Shi'ir Bahem, Kedei La'orer Halavavos, in order to stir hearts, Biliftoach Darkei Atshuva, V'yez Zichron L'maseinu Haroim, M'masa Boseinu Shayu K'maseinu Ata, Ad Shigarim Lahem V'lanu Osam Atzaros, Sheb Zichron Dvarim Elu Nashuv Lahitiv, Shenemar, V'hisfadu Esavonam, V'yasavon Avosam. And then the Rambam goes ahead and he lists all the Elohein, Shlishi B'Tishrei, Bonera G'dalya B'Nachikam, Asara B'Teves, Bosamach Melech Bavel Nuchanetzer, Al Yerushalayim. This is according to the Mishnah in Tanyos. Shivasa B'Tamuz, Chamisha Dvar Mirubos, we already alluded, Nishtabra Haluchos, Batel Atamid, Hufka Yerushalayim, Sarif Apostamus Arasha Satora, Himid Sel B'Hechal, and Tishabav, Chamisha Dvar Miruba, Nigzal Yisrael B'Midbar Shalei Konsul Aretz, Chorav Habayis Bereshonu B'Shniya Nukud Ayugdola Beitar Shema V'Hoy Ba'al Paim Rivos V'Yisrael V'Yilam Melech Godol V'Dimu Kol Yisrael U'Gdolik HaChom V'Shemelech HaMashiach V'Nofal B'Yad Goyim V'Nerag Kulam V'Yasatzor G'Dolik HaMachur Ban HaMikdash. It's interesting, the Rambam expands this from the Mishnah. It doesn't say all this in the Mishnah, and especially the idea that this is the equivalent, that the story of Beitar is the equivalent of Churban HaMikdash, is something that the Rambam adds on his own. V'Babayom HaMuchal L'Puranus Charash Tornas Rapas Harasha Mimalke Edom Esahecha Vesviva Lekayim Tzion Sade Techarash. Actually, the Rambam tries to make all the events of Tisha B'Av similar to the Chorban. In any case, that's the Arba Yom Tzomos Elo or in Farashim B'Kabbalah, and then Tanis Esther treats differently for reasons that we won't go into right now. One could have read the Rambam, but basically the Rambam is saying that all the Tanesim are the same, they're all Midarkei HaTshuva. And it could be that that is really the Rambam's Shita. Although this expansion and making all the five events into a kind of an extension of the Korban itself is an important element in the Rambam's perspective. But I think that one could suggest, at least for the Gemara, and to answer Tosis's question, what the Gemara and Tosis had in mind, was something else. And that is that in Tisha B'Av, in addition to Midarkei HaTshuva, which it shares and overlaps with all the other Tanais, and maybe that's all the Rambam is really saying in Hilchos Tainis as well, because then later on the Rambam begins to elaborate all the other dinim of Tisha B'Av. In addition to that, Tisha B'Av goes beyond Midarkei HaTshuva. We really have a velus on Tisha B'Av for the events itself. In other words, when it comes to Shivasa B'Tamas and Asarat B'Teves, we capitalize on our pain, and you know, it's intended to motivate us and to inspire us to do tshuva, but we're not really commemorating and mourning for the events of Shivasa B'Tamas and Asarat B'Teves and so on Gedalia. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, as we know, it's not just a Yom Tanis, it's also a day of Avelus. And in part, it's patterned after Yom Kippur. Okay, the Dini Avelus of Tisha B'Av are spelled out, both in the Gemara's in Tainis and in Moed Katan. It has all the normal protocols of a day of Avelus. Indeed, the Gemara Yavamos, Daf Mem Gimel, right, has discusses at length the question whether or not one could get married, Erusin, in the context of Avelus. Is it only Nisuin? In the old days, they used to split up Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin was the Kinyan Kiddushin, and then they would usually wait a year until they would actually begin to live together in the context of Chuppa or Nisuin. So the Gemara has a discussion, what about Erusin in the context of Avelus? Shloshim, for example. So the Gemara tries to bring proofs one way or another. The Gemara says there seems to be indications that Erusin, without a Su'udas Erusin and without Nisuin, would be permitted for an Avel. And yet, when it comes to the laws of Tisha B'Av and Shavua Shechalbo, right, and the 9 days, it seems like there's a prohibition not only of Nisuin, but of Erusin as well. So the Gemara discusses that. By discussing that, the Gemara again reveals that the dinim of Tisha B'Av are dinim of Avelus. And the Gemara's conclusion is to be mechalek between Avelus Kadasha and Avelus Yeshana, Avelus de Yachid and Avelus de Rabin. In the end, the Gemara says, you're right, there are discrepancies, even though both are dinim of Avelus, but there are two types of Avelus here. There's Avelus de Yachid, Avelus de Rabin, there's personal, individual Avelus, and then there is the Avelus of Klal Yisrael, there's Avelus Kadasha, a new, raw, painful, emotional Avelus, and then there is Avelus Yeshana, the more distant, probably more intellectual, the Avelus of reflection, of sighing, not necessarily the Avelus of sobbing. The difference between Avelus Yeshana and Chadasha, between Shel Tzibur and Shel Yachid. So the Gemara establishes clearly that there are Dine Avelus, albeit slightly different than regular Avelus, of Tisha B'Av. And Avelus commemorates a particular act, a particular event, and maybe that's exactly what the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is telling us. When it comes to the din of Midarkei HaTshuva, the regular din of Tanis, so then, you know, Be'ez Tzara, of course, the truth is, what does the Eis Tzara have to do with the pain from the anniversary of the calamity? But from the perspective of Midarkei HaTshuva, namely, we're trying to capitalize on the emotions that we can muster and the perspective that we can extract, you know, from going back into past history in order to improve our present. That's really the Mechayev. That's what the Rambam is describing in Perek Aleph and Perek Hei of Hilchos Tainis. So it very much depends whether the present requires that kind of perspective. So therefore the Gemara says, if it's Bishash, Ein Bo Shalom, Ein Bo Gzeiras Malchus, if it's a neutral time, so then, you know, it's highly flexible. It depends on your point of view. Ratza, Misanim, Lo Ratza, Lo Misanim. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, Shehuch B'Lebot Saros, the point is, the past in its own right is painful. And it requires that we address that past. Even if the present is not particularly problematic. Again, the implication of the Gemara was if it's Be'ez Shalom, so maybe that's that eclipses the Avelus. That's a different story. But certainly if you're not at a point where the past is irrelevant, So it's not just the past's contribution to the present, it's the past as the past that we need to address. Okay, we were speaking about, you know, Gershon is Gayer, Kakotin Shenolad, the differences between, you know, where the past is the past and the past is, you know, a continuation into the present. So too, we have that idea in other contexts of halacha, including here. And I think that's exactly what the Gemara means about Yom Shehuchpelu Bo Tzaros. And that's what Tosis means, that, you know, A, the Chorban is different, and B, the fact that it is the same event more than once, and according to the Rambam, more than twice, maybe three or four times over from a certain point of view, it's the anniversary of this painful episode in Jewish history that we really mourn. And in that sense, we can understand well why it's different from the other Tanesim. I think in light of this, we can better appreciate what the Ksam Sofer was saying, which is, this isn't necessarily even comparable to Asar B'Teves and Shavasar B'Tammuz, etc. It's not only about your ability to fast right now, it's about Moed, Lishbor Machurai, like other Moedim. It's about the calendar date and what happened on that date a long time ago. It's a negative Moed. It's a an emotionally difficult Moed, but it's a Moed nonetheless. It's the Moed Lishbar Bachurai. And in this sense, I think we can also appreciate something else. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that Yirmiyahu HaNavi wrote Sefer Yirmiyah, and he also wrote Kinos, which means Sefer Eicha. So the question that some Achronim ask, I've seen about that a while ago, that is, why do we call Sefer Yirmiyah Sefer Yirmiyah, and we call the other Sefer that he wrote Eicha? The fact is that the whole Sefer Yirmiyah, as the Gemara says, is Kula Purinusa. It's all about tochacha, you know, reproaching and reproving Klal Yisrael. It's all negative. It's all about the difficult times and travails of Klal Yisrael. So in what sense is Sefer Yirmiyah called Sefer Yirmiyah? He wrote both. And Eicha is Eicha, is Kinos. Why aren't both of them Kinos? If we're talking about some of the other Svarim, Yeshayahu, Sefer, Yeshaya, Yecheskel. So there's, you know, all sorts of range of topics in those Svarim. But Yirmiyah, Kula Purinusa. So what's the difference between the Yirmiyah and Kinos? So some of them Farshim explain. The difference is very pointed. And that is that Sefer Yirmiyah is Kula Purinusa, but it's written in the form of Tochacha. Whereas Eicha is Kinos, it's really a lament. I think one could just sharpen this chiluk and say, what we mean by that is, just in terms of the categories that I meant, that I used before, Sefer Yirmiyah is in the category of Midarkei HaTshuva. Basically, Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying, you better do tshuva before it's too late. There's a before it's too late. It's not about the past, it's about the present and the time of Yirmiyahu, of course. It's about the present and the future. So it may be Kula Purinusa. It's very harsh. Times were particularly difficult.
But he was predicting the whole. Yirmiyahu was predicting.
He was saying, if you
He was thrown out from Israel because he was predicting things.
Right.
So how can it be that he was...
So what I'm saying is that... Yeah, so in Sefer Yirmiyahu, in Sefer Yirmiyah, he's threatening the Chorban. But in Kinos and Eicha, it's already the Avelus for the Chorban. It's already a fact.
So he wrote it in Egypt?
No. So the question is when... So then the question arises. That's exactly what point I want to make. So when was Sefer Eicha written? So the Ibn Ezra says that Sefer Yirmiyahu was written... Sefer Eicha was written after the Chorban. That of course makes sense. One is written before.
He was in Egypt.
One is in Eum, yeah. And the other one is... You know, a post-mortem, it's a lament. However, and essentially it's a machlokas within Chazal. If you look at Eicha, Medrash Eicha, so Rabbi Nechemya says it must be that Sefer Eicha was written after Yirmiyahu was already after the exile and after the Churban. After all, how could there be Avelos Shelo B'Shas Hamisa? You can't write a Kinov for something that never happened yet. That's the view of Rab Nechemya in Medrash Eicha. However, the predominant view is not that of Rab Nechemya, but I think of Rab Yehuda. Certainly that's the view that that Rashi and most of the traditional Mefarshim adopt. And that is that when we read in Nach about the famous story about how Yirmiyah had this nevuah and that he was told to commit it to writing, and he gave it to Baruch, and it was read to the people, that is the reference to Eicha. According to that view, Eicha was written prior to the Churban. So if that's the case, we have a very fascinating situation. How can you lament something which didn't happen yet? Oh. So I think that in very many many respects, this is exactly, and the way the Rabbi Nechemya says it, Ein misablin ad shemesa muta lefanecha. So you don't have a misa, you can't have an avel. Okay. A couple of people here learned Pavakama with me this year. So they know that there is, small exception to that rule. That is the Gemara says in the Darim that the principle of Tochid Dibor applies to Kriya Bavelos. If a person's Korea Bavelos a second before the Misa, that will be effective. That could be an issue in Tochid Dibor, or it might be an issue in Avelos, but in the following way. The rule that Ein misablim ad shemeso muta lefanav can really be understood in two ways. One is that it's a principle, it's a fundamental principle, which says that avelus is a reaction, a response to misa, therefore it can never proceed. In which case, what you have to explain is that the Tochid Dibor is a chiddush in Tochid Dibor, that it's all one time zone. It's almost the way the Ritva in Darim explains it, it's ke'ilu is still being Korea until the Tochid Dibor is over, and the Kriya takes place really after the Misa. It doesn't physically, but legally, halachically, it does. But there's another possibility, and that is, maybe it's possible to have Avelos Lifnei HaMisa, as long as it's really Mitzuraf to the Misa, as long as you know that there will be a Misa, you can never ever know, probably, but it has to be linked to the Misa itself. Even if we were to say that when it comes to regular avelus, necessarily the lament, the avelus, has to come after the misa, which I think is a reasonable, very reasonable position. And even if Tochid Dibor is a small exception to that, because it's mitzuruf to the moment of misa, perhaps this is one of the differences between avelus diyachid and avelus dirabim, avelus yeshana and avelus chadasha. Because the whole idea of avelus, of course, chadasha, is that it is responsive and it is an experience. It's the pain that that one feels, not fully captured yet by the knowledge of what one will lose, but the actual loss itself. That's exactly what avelus chadasha is. It's not intellect. You can't intellectualize it. It's a pure emotional response. And as long as one's loved one is with him in the world, even if he's a goses, you still don't feel that pain. There's still that presence. It's the loss of presence, the sense of total alienation and loss, paralysis. How can one go on? That only sets in when there's the actual loss itself, when there's the misa. You can't begin abelus, and certainly not aninus, prior to misha meso mutalafanav. That's the abelus chadasha. That's the abelus diyachet. But the avelos of the tzibur, the avelos yeshana, actually works in the other direction. And if we look structurally, it's, I think, very striking. We begin avelos for Tisha B'Av well in advance of Tisha B'Av's date. Right? We start already the 3 weeks. That's an extension. 9 days. The real dinim of Shavua Shechalbo. In a sense, we do the Shavua Shechalbo, which is almost equivalent to the Shloshim, based on that Gemara Nivamos. So you have if you want to even put it even further, the way that Rav Soloveitchik understood it, so the 3 weeks is the Yud Beis Kodesh. The 9 days, or the Yeshua Shechalbo, is the Shloshim. And then you work down from there to the to the Yom HaMisa and to even to Aninus, Misha Mesa Motalafana. We go backwards of what we do in Avelus Chadasha Diyachid. I think the reason that is true is because Avelus Chadasha Diyachid is, again, it's about that visceral sense of pain and loss. It's nothing intellectual about it at all. It can't be anticipated. Not the Avel, and anticipating it is not going to alleviate the suffering and the pain either. It's the plain, stark reality of loss. And that takes place only at the moment of Misa, and it's felt in the rawest, most painful, emotional way right from the beginning. As time goes on, so one begins to begin the process of assimilating, reassimilating back into life, and then the pain takes different forms. It could be more powerful, but different. One begins to consider how one's life will change, and that's why you need the periods of Yom HaMisa, of Aninus, and then Yom HaMisa, Yom Rishon, and Shlosha Yamim, Lebechi, and the Shiva, and the Shloshim, and in the case of the parent, Yud Beis Chodesh. These are all ways for you to continue your Avelus. Again, the degree of pain may be the same, but it is channeled in very different ways. In the case of Avelus Yeshana, Avelus Derabim, it's exactly the opposite. This is something that took place several thousand years ago, right? You have to create an environment in which you feel it more acutely. It begins, and in some respects it remains, an intellectual exercise, but an intellectual exercise which, as you continue with it, becomes more intense and somewhat emotional as well. But there are, again, different stages of its development. And for that reason, there are differences. For example, Kfiyas Amita, Atifas HaRosh, these are characteristics of Avelus that don't apply to Tisha B'Av, although they do apply to Avelus Chadash HaDiyachid. Not getting married during the Shavua Shechalbo, that's where the Gemara makes the distinction, is a prohibition for Tisha B'Av, for these days. It's not a prohibition for these days, but is a prohibition for the individual. In other words, the expressions of Avelus for Chadasha and Yeshana, for Yachid and for Rabim, actually differ. If this is the case, then I think we can appreciate what exactly we're being told when the Gemara tells us that there's a Sefer Eicha and there is a Kinos. Even if that Sefer Kinos, there's a Sefer Yirmiyahu and there's a Sefer Kinos Eicha. Even if that Sefer Kinos was written in advance, the Avelus Yeshana Uderabim is something which we do anticipate and begin working on our approach to it in advance. And this was true even for the event itself as it related to the entire Klal Yisrael, and I think in a very dramatic way. The psukim in Divrei Hayamim tell us, the Psukim and Divrei Hayamim tell us about Melech Yoshiyahu, and it's Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Again. A lot of pictures here, I'm not sure why. Timelines. We read about this period, Beis Lamed Hei. Yoshio discovers, Vayas Yoshio B'Yerushalayim, starts on Lamed Aled. We read how Yoshiyahu, at the time of Yoshiyahu, the Torah was rediscovered, very strange. Parsha. Torah is rediscovered and it's brought to Yoshiyahu, and as soon as he hears the Kriyas HaTorah, He is Korea Begadav. Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. This is when he dies. Vayomer kol asarim hasaros bikinoseim al Yoshiyahu adayom. Vayitnim lechok al Yisrael. Vinam ksuvim alakinos. Vayeser divrei Yoshiyahu v'chasadav kakosu b'toras Hashem. Basically, the one of the prakim of Eicha is a hesped for Melech Yoshiyahu. What was it about Melech Yoshiyahu that deserves a hesped in the middle of the Avelos Derabim, the Yishana of Tisha B'Av? So if we look carefully, again, when we're told the whole story of Yoshiyahu, as I say, as soon as he finds they find the Sefer Torah and it's read in front of Klal Yisrael, we're told that Yoshiyahu is Korea Begadav.
Was he killed?
And then he was killed when
in his home.
No. He was killed because he was killed in battle because he was in a way too. I'll explain that in a second. He was too optimistic on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He wouldn't let Melech Mitzrayim go through his territory, and he was killed in a very terrible way. But basically, when they find the Sefer Torah and they read it, it says Vayikru es begadav. He tears his garments because he realizes that Klal Yisrael are in grave danger, because they're supposed to live up to this tremendous high standard of morality and avodas Hashem, and they haven't done that at all. In other words, he sees the writing on the wall. Kri, of course, is a kind of form of avelos. He's almost korea. He's an avelos for Klal Yisrael almost immediately. His Darkei Atshuva, put it this way, immediately translates into a kind of Avel in Tisha B'Av fashion. That should be sharply contrasted with what we read about in terms of the response to Yirmiyahu himself here in Perek Lamed Vav, where we're told that this Nevuah is given. Vayhi b'shana ha'raviyis l'Yehoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda haya davar zeh l'Yirmiyahu meis Hashem le'mor. Kach lecha megillah sefer v'kasavta eleha eskal ha'dvarim asher dibarti alecha Yisrael v'al Yehuda v'al kol ha'goyim miyom dibarti alecha mimei Yoshiyahu v'ad yom hazeh. Ulai yishmu beis Yehuda eskal ha'ra asher anochi chokshev la'asos lahem l'man yashuvu ish midarko ha'ra. It's very, very clear even. Say for Yirmiyahu, the purpose is tshuva. And the purpose of Eich, of the Megillas Kinos originally, is also Yashuvu ish midarko hara v'salachti la'avonam v'lechat asam. So he's supposed to write this Megillah. Vayikra Yirmiyahu as Baruch ben Neria, vayikhtov Baruch mipi Yirmiyahu as kol divrei Hashem asher diber elav al Megillas Sefer. Go on a Yom Tzom and read this Megillah. I can't be there myself. You'll be my shliach. Etc. So the initial response that he gets is a very positive one. Everybody's listening. Vayikra Baruch Basefer, as Divrei Yirmiyahu Beis Hashem, Bilishkas Gemar Yahu, etc. And everybody is listening. But then Vayered Beis Hamelech, Alishkas Hasofer, Inesham, Kolas Sarim Yoshvim, Vayagid Lahem, I'm skipping some lines here, Asher Shamea, Bikro Baruch Basefer, Bazne Ha'am, Vayishlechu kol asarim el Baruch leimar ha-megillah asher karasa bab azne ha'am kechena biyadecha v'lech. Vayikach Baruch Meneria as ha-megillah biyado v'yavo aleihem. Vayomer lav shevna karena ba'azneinu. These are the sarim. Vayikru Baruch ba'azneihem. Vayhi kishamam. That's kol advarim. Pachado isho re'eyu. Each one gets scared. Again, it's working, the Darkei HaTshuva. The Yomer al Baruch, Haged Nagid LaMelech, will bring it to the highest authority, to the Melech. That's when everything breaks down. V'ani kosev al ha-sefer banyo, v'yomar sarim el baruch, lechi saser atav yirmiyahu, v'isha yedai fa'atem, v'yavo al ha-melech, chatzera v'es ha-megillah, hifkidu, they read this Megillah, v'yikra Yehudi, ba'aznei ha-melech, v'aznei kol ha-sarim, v'ha-melech yoshev beis ha-choref, v'hi kikro, and he listens, so v'lo pachadu, v'lo karuas bignehem. So the Sefer Yirmiyahu tells, the Nevuah says, lo pachadu, they didn't react with fear. V'lo karu is big nehem. Hamelech v'chol ha'davana v'oshimis ha'dvar ma'ele. And then they're told, v'hidvar Hashem l'Yirmiyahu akrei srof, the melech burns the Megillah, srof is a Megillah, v'lo shama alehem. So in a sense, after that, v'hidvar Hashem l'Yirmiyahu akrei srof ha'melech es ha'megillah v'es ha'dvarim v'asher kasav, Baruch Mepir Yirmiyahu Leimar, Shuv, Kachal Chal Megillah Acheres, Uksov Alehaz Kol HaDvarim HaRishonim, Asher Yuh LaMegillah Rishona, Asher Saraf Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda. This is the son of Yehoshiyahu. So basically, this is how, according to one view in Chazal, the dominant view in Chazal, and Rashi and most of the Mepharshim, this is the origin of Sefer Eicha. The Yirmi Lakach Megillah Acheres, Vayitnal Baruch Beneri or Asofer, Vayichtav Alav Mipir Yimiyahu, Eis Kol Divrei Asofer Asher Sarf Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda Ba'esh, Va'od Nosaf Aleihem Dvarim Rabim Kahema. What's the Od Nosaf Aleihem Dvarim Rabim Kahema? Including Vayikonein Yirmiyahu Es Yoshiyahu, the parak in which the Hesped of Yoshiyahu is included in Eicha. So I think that the point is as follows. The what we're being taught here is the contrast between the Melech, you know, the son, and Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu heard the Sefer Torah Elokim by Yikra as Begadav. Right? And the truth is that there wasn't anything in the Sefer Torah directed specifically at him. But he understood the concept of Midarkei HaTshuva. He understood it so well that he already, and his sense of responsibility and sensitivity was so great that even the Midarkei HaTshuva for him turned immediately into an Avelos, a Yikra. On the other hand, the Tochacha, the Midarkei HaTshuva, which is developed in Sefer Yirmiyah, when it's received by those who are insensitive, what they do is they tear up the Sefer. Instead of being Korea as big dehem. In other words, not only do they not descend into an immediate avelos, even the midarkei hatshuva parts of it end up being completely rejected. So in a sense, it's perfect that Sefer Eicha is the companion to Sefer Yirmiyah, not only because Yirmiyah, has a remazim about the origins of Sefer Eicha, but it's exactly that point, and that's why Nosaf al advari ma'ela asher kasav, meaning Vayikonein Yirmiyahu es Yoshiyahu. The whole point of Sefer Eicha is connected with Yirmiyahu's appreciation, especially in retrospect, of Yoshiyahu and his sensitivity. Here we have Yoshiyahu's Korea Begadav, right? Even when it's not obvious, and the others, when the writing is literally already on the wall, the Gzera has practically been pronounced, it's their last gasp opportunity to be shoved Midarkei Hara, and even that, they're in total denial, their sense of responsibility just doesn't exist. At all.
You can say that it was predestined, the whole home was predestined.
So the point is that at this point, when it's rewritten, at that point it's too late. The Gzera already exists. Well, it wasn't predestined before that point. I mean, that's the Shasa Gzera. It's before that point, when the Megillah is first read, that's the whole point, is Shema Yashuvu Midarkeim Hara. It's because instead of responding to that
But
active opportunity, instead of responding to it, they ignored it and even rejected it, burnt it, they did exactly opposite of what they're supposed to do. That's why the second rendition of Sefer Eicha is no longer a continuation of Sefer Yirmiyah, but it's a Sefer Bifnei Atzmo, even though it's before the actual Misa, but the Gzeira of Misha Mesa Mutal Afanav is already there. And I think we can take it one final step further as we conclude. That is, that I said before, I think that's the difference between Avelus Chadash and Avelus Yishon, Avelus Terabim and Avelus Diachid, in general. But even more particularly, the origin of Eicha in Yirmiyah, and the contrast by Yikonein, Yirmiyahu es Yoshiyahu. But I think one could take it even one step further, and that is that the Avelus of Yishana and Derabim is as much about the root causes of the Churban as it is about the Churban itself. In other words, the Avel is not only about the Churban, it's about the Gzeira that there should be a Churban. That Klal Yisrael had reached a point where even Shuvu Midarkeim Hara wasn't, I don't know if it wasn't possible, or at that point it wasn't the primary focus. That in itself was something which generated Kriyas Begadim. We find this not only in these parshios, but in the parshios that we just finished reading in Bamidbar as well. Right, several times you have, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron being Korea Bigdehem, which is a sign of Avel. Before the implementation of the Gzeira, at the point where Klal Yisrael deserved the Gzeira. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, Avelus Derabim, the idea of Gzeira also triggers Avelus. And that's why Yirmiyah Kasav Sifro V'Kasav Sefer Kinos. But Tisha B'Av really is a day in which we combine both of these elements. It is the most acute, the most demanding of the Tanios. Can't forget the fact that the Rambam still quotes it together with the others in Perakei Hilchos Tanis, together or based on the Mishnah in Tanis, which lumps everything together. In that sense, it remains a challenge, even a greater challenge of Shuvu Midarkechem Hara, but at the same time, there's the additional element of Avelus, which doesn't mean that we should be Misyayish, but it does mean that you know, it's not enough to think about the present. It's important to think about what brought about the Gzeira of the past, the Sinas Chinam, that the Gemara speaks about in Hanizakin, in Gittin, the Tzion B'Mishpat Tipadev Shaveh Bitzdaka, the lack of morality and ethics, which made Lama Li Rov Zivchechem, which made a mockery of Karbanos. As much as we memorialize the Batei Mikdash and the Churban, and we do, every bit as much, it's the Gzeira and what caused it, therefore, even in advance, that we're also Misabel Aleha. And therefore,
the Teshuvah doesn't help all the time. If it's too late, the Teshuvah doesn't help either.
Well, that's a question, maybe,
I mean,
after Gzeira. When you put it this way, when
so
you go,
it was predestined because it was,
well, it's not
too
predestined.
Late.
It's predestined.
It was too late.
That doesn't mean it's predestined. I mean, predestined
they
means
they could have had.
They have an
tshuva.
Opportunity
they
to do
tshuva.
They had an opportunity to do tshuva.
But they didn't. But they said it was too late. Or they
right. At some point, it was it was probably too late. Or if it wasn't too late, at least until they pulled themselves out of that quagmire.
So wouldn't you
that
say
that Rabbi
Yahweh himself did that b'duchan Rabbeinu Shloim in terms that he thought it's too late to do tshuva and the Chorban is here?
Well, he's saying, what he's saying was, again, I don't know whether you're saying it was too late to do tshuva. It's never too late to do tshuva. Whether tshuva would have removed the gzeira is not clear. But the point is, even if it could have removed the gzeira, that what I'm suggesting was there was an avelus on the gzeira itself, and on especially what brought about the gzeira. But in some cases, we also find, and the Rambam says this in Ochas Tshuva, that there are some things that are ma'akev as tshuva, which doesn't mean that you can't necessarily do it, but at least it makes it inconducive, it makes it very difficult to do tshuva. Or, for example, if you are, you know, certain averas that you do, you have to get an onesh. If you do tshuva, it doesn't help. You know, if you violate Shabbos, you have to bring a korban. You have to get, if you do it b'mezid, you have to get the onesh which is coming to you. That doesn't mean you don't also do tshuva, but tshuva doesn't always neutralize an onesh. That is true. Well, in this case, tshuva would have still helped, but they were in avelus for what they had reached or not. I think that still remains an open question. But this is what's unique, I think, about Tisha B'Av. And that's why we say Eicha, we say the keynotes. I think these are some of the issues that we should have in mind. Okay. So much for that part. Now let's go back to...